That was good, wasn't it? It's been really good this morning. Appreciate choir, praise team. Everybody's done a wonderful job today. We're going to be Matthew, the 26th chapter today. And we're really going to be considering the whole chapter, but we're not going to be reading a lot from there because of time constraints today. We're going to practice one of the ordinances of the church today. We're going to be doing the Lord's Supper. And so, continuing in our trust series, we want to title the message today, The Lord's Supper Says We Trust Him. That song reminds me of God's trust. Precious Lord, take my hand. The title to that song reminds me really of a working model of trust. The gentleman that wrote that song was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Dorsey. He wrote and sang it, and he has been called the father of gospel music. He was 93 years of age when he passed away in 1993. Now, I wanted to share some things about Thomas's life because I think it really gives us an idea about the song, where he was coming from when he wrote the song. Thomas loved music from a very young age. He just had an affinity for it and was decent at it, very good at it, really. And long before he began his secondary education in composition and arranging music, he played piano in a vaudeville act. And after college, he began frequenting the jazz clubs of his days, developed quite a reputation there. But there was something that changed in Thomas's life. In 1921, he was 22 years of age, and he surrendered his life, his soul, his everything to Jesus Christ. Almost immediately, he left the jazz scene and began to write gospel music. It took about 3 years for him to completely develop himself into a songwriter and a worship leader. Some 11 years later, Thomas Dorsey was leading a worship service. He's 32 years of age now, or 33, excuse me. And he gets handed a telegram at the platform. He opens up the telegram, and the telegram says this: "Your wife has just died." One day later, the child would die also. So Thomas quickly spiraled down into the depths of despair. He was doubting the goodness of God, and he determined that he was never going to write another hymn. So a week after that horrible, horrible day, he was at a friend's house. He was in a room alone with a piano, and he sat down at the piano. And there was indescribable peace that began to come into that room. Quiet, but peaceful, serene. Then he began to go. You know the tune. The words came to him: "Precious Lord, take my hand." Begin to fill his mind, begin to fill his mouth. So today, would you briefly join with me today as we start this service? Really, it's already started, but start the message today: "And precious Lord, take my hand." I'm not much of a singer, but I feel compelled to do this today. So let's try it together. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on. Through the light, precious Lord, take my hand. After he wrote that song, it changed everything for Thomas. It changed the course of his life. He began to write songs left and right, and it really changed everything about him. That song, by the way, has been written in 40 different languages. It was Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite hymn, and he went on to write other favorites like Peace in the Valley. I want to read something to you when we're talking about trust. Doesn't that song just really say something about trust? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. Well, we've been in this series about trust here, and we want to remind everybody of what we've talked about so far. In the series, we're learning to trust God more. In week one, we looked at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 and 6, and we found this amazing truth. And the truth is this: he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Right? Isn't that true? Regardless of what's going on in our life. Week two, we learned that God has trusted us to share his gospel. In fact, he calls us his ambassadors. And last week, we learned that if we're trusting him, there's some visible evidence to that because we're going to be trusting one another. We're going to be networking together. Well, today is another visual of trust. We have the elements of the bread. We have the elements of the fruit of the vine before us today, which really says we trust God in all this. So in Matthew 26, we have this unveiling of the Lord's Supper. It's probably about 2 or 3 days that are written in this 26th chapter. And I want to outline 3 simple things from this 26th chapter. The first is this: if we are going to participate in this today, you and I have to say that we trust God with all that we have. Have you really done that? In verse 6 of that 26th chapter, I'll just give you some background to the story here. It tells us that Christ is in the house of Simon the leopard. The good news for Simon the leopard, he was no longer a leopard because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was moved out of the leopard colony, and he could live and he could entertain people freely from that dreadful disease. You see, you weren't allowed around anyone else other than other leopards if you had leprosy. Then in verse 7, it tells us that Mary comes, Mary Magdalene, with this alabaster box. And by the way, the ointment and that box itself were probably the equivalent of 1 year's wages. And she takes this alabaster box and this very expensive, fragrant oil that is to be used really essentially for burial purposes, and she anoints our Lord with it. I really just love what the Lord shows us here that she's done. It's showing us here that she just didn't have some afterthought in giving. She gave her all. What she gave that day was everything, really, that she had. And I hope this doesn't get lost today. When you and I, we take these elements today, and we invite you to take these elements today. You're born-again Christian. You've trusted Jesus. You've been scripturally baptized. We invite you to participate in these elements today. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, I want to flesh something out to us all today. That the greatest commandment is we have to trust God with everything. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 and 39, it says, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And then the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So let's reflect internally here. Can we really say we've loved God with our heart, our soul, and our mind? I hope we can say that today, and we invite you to be a part of what we're going to be doing here in just a few short minutes. Second thing is this: we have to trust God in the present. Now, I want you to think about this story here. There's an important backdrop in this whole event. There was 11 disciples with Christ, 11 apostles to be exact, and they were preparing for the feast of Passover. But there was one who was plotting against all that. It was a guy by the name of Judas Iscariot, and he had gone to the high priest, the chief priest, and made a deal to betray Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now, 30 pieces of silver was the equivalent of about 120 days worth of wages. 120 days worth of wages. There's really an irony, such irony here. Mary gave up everything, and Judas really gave up nothing to get something that wouldn't even last. In comparison, Judas really gave up everything for nothing. Here's what I know. There is nothing that you can get right now. I want you to hear this if you don't catch anything else today. There is nothing that you can get right now that will ever replace heaven. Amen? Nothing. Not fame, not fortune, not looks, nothing. Nothing will equate to what heaven is for all those who trust Jesus Christ. So as we take this today, let us be reminded that we're trusting the Lord right now. Now, as I look across the room, I don't know everybody here, but I know most everybody here. You know, I may not know the intimate details of everything, but I do know some things about a lot of us here today and know some things about myself. Last year may have not been the best year in the whole world. May not have been the banner year. Let's talk about right now. You know, Dwayne, you were teasing about the weather out there, but I think a lot of people are bummed out about the weather, right? Aren't we? The ice and the snow, and I don't know if it was really snow, but we're just bummed out about it. When we take this today, now the weather's just a trivial thing, but let's talk about it in reality. When we take this today, maybe you have bad news right now. Maybe your kids aren't serving the Lord like you would like to see them serving the Lord. Maybe you have problems in your home life. You know, I don't know. But when we take this today, we're saying we're confident with where we're at right now. Because that's what they were doing. I mean, there was a mess going on that night. When he instituted that Lord's Supper, there was an absolute mess going on at that night. Betrayed by kiss. Betrayed by kiss. And then every single one of them, every single one of them would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Judas, just not Peter, but also every one of them would be scattered. So when we take this today, we're saying that, okay, Lord, I may be in the thick of things right now. There may be some difficulty or grave situation that I'm in right now, but it's okay. I'm trusting you where I'm at right now. Just like the song that we sing, Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. The preacher in Ecclesiastes writes that for everything there is a time and a season. What we've got to get past in Christianity today, postmodern Christianity, is this whole idea that God is some kind of cosmic sugar daddy that's going to fix our every need. We've got to get past that. The writer in Ecclesiastes makes these declarations. To everything, there's a time and a season. And then he goes to start naming things. Time to born, time to be died, time to plant, time to pluck, time for everything. To gather up stones, to cast away stones, all those things. And then he concludes that with this thought in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15. I know whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away. God does it that men should fear before him. Those verses tell us that whatever God is going to do, you and I really need to be comfortable in the here and now. So whatever the news that you've gotten just recently, just be okay with it and realize the Lord's got a plan. And the third thing today is this. If we're going to trust him more in 2012, We've got to trust God with the future. Now, Christ made a promise. If you have your Bibles, look at the 26th chapter, verse 29. It's one of my favorite points in the whole unveiling of the Lord's Supper. Christ made this promise. He said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, here, Christ makes a promise. Today, I have the privilege as your pastor participating in this meal with you. Our deacons have the privilege of serving you today. But there is something that I don't want us to miss here. There's a day I'm not going to be serving it. There's going to be a day that the Lord Jesus Christ himself serves it to me. I mean, think of powerful imagery there. Jesus Christ, I mean, him handing you the bread. And then seeing in his hands those nail prints. Because those are the only things in heaven that are made by man. The nail prints in his hands. Him handing you broken bread, and then you seeing his broken body. Just a little resemblance of it with the scars that are in his hand. Think about him giving you the cup. And you look around, you realize, boy, I'm saved. I'm in heaven. I'm completely whole. Sin's been taken from me. It's been cast away from me. I can walk through walls. It'll mean something. So I'm looking forward to that day when Pastor Mark is not the one serving it, or Pastor Dwayne or Pastor Matt, whatever the case may be, whatever church you're talking about. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to serve it anew to you." Today, I want you to realize this. Christ serves us this meal. Christ is looking forward to serving us this meal. And he does it in spite of knowing our weaknesses. He made a promise to those men that day and to the servants that day. Listen, I'm going to serve it again to you anew in my kingdom, my Father's kingdom. Now think about this. He did that. He made that promise knowing that Peter would say, "I know him not. I don't know this guy." Cussing, saying he didn't know him. I want you to understand, whatever you have done, Christ stands ready to forgive you. There's not a person in this room, not a single person, that is not without fault. That's not made a mistake this past week, maybe even this morning. Well, that's a pretty way of saying we've sinned some way. Maybe you looked at something you should have looked at. Maybe you laughed at something you shouldn't have laughed at. Maybe you got angry. Anybody got road rage today from the ice, huh? There's a multitude of ways that we all can sin. You can get mad at anything. It just shows our selfish, narcissistic nature at times. Regardless of what we have done or what we will do, Christ stands ready to forgive us. I love what we started out this whole series with all the way back on the 1st of January. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As long as God gives me breath, as long as God gives me a place to preach, I'm going to proclaim his word. And I'm going to tell people that when God does something for you, he doesn't have to go back and do it all over again. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Friend, when you take this today, we are saying that nothing's going to separate us from God. We're looking forward to taking it in his kingdom. We're seeing a day ahead when the Lord himself will serve it to every single one of us. If you're excited about that day, would you say amen? Amen. If you're ready to take this today, would you say amen? Amen? Let me invite our deacons to come today as we serve this meal to you today.
Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with great grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne all our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you. us pray. Father, we praise you for being who you are, that you are the Almighty, you are the great provider. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. As we contemplate what happened to him so many years ago, Father, he was brought before Caiaphas and the council. They spit on him, they slapped him, they cursed him. The soldiers paraded them in front of them, stripped him, put a robe on him, put a crown of thorns on him. They abused him, Lord. His body, even though no bone was broken, Lord, his flesh was torn. His side was pierced. He gave up his life for us, Lord. And we thank you for that sacrifice. Just be with us now as we think about this, Lord, and the great sacrifice it was for us. We ask you to be with us now. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
They used bread that was unleavened, and this is bread that does not have leaven in it, and it's a little different than what you all have there, but the bread they had in that day probably wasn't much different than what I have right here in my hand. And the reason why they didn't want leaven in it, it was symbolic that sin was not in the bread. Now, there's nothing evil about yeast, but it was a symbol. And the Bible tells us the one that didn't have any leaven in him, the one that didn't have sin, was made sin for us. So he had given thanks, he had passed the bread out and given thanks, and he broke it, symbolizing he would be broken for us. And as Steve so eloquently said in his prayer, there wasn't a bone in his body broken. That's what the scripture teaches. But my friend, he was shredded from one end to the other. And so when he had given thanks, broke it, here's where we want you to join in. Take, eat this. It's my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Be reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. And not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more then shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in so much thanks. Our gratitude could never be enough for what you've done. You showed the greatest love that a person can show to anyone. That no matter what we did, even when we didn't know you, and those that just shouted out, "I didn't want you," you still went ahead and did what you did for us. You loved us. Care for us. You even died to pay the price that we may be set free, to come to know who you are, to come to know such great peace if we learn to love this way you do. Not to look at the things around us, just realize the only one that can do what's right is each one of us, to love, to respect, to always give an opportunity to come to know who you are. My Savior Jesus Christ went to that cross and shed the precious blood to give me hope. And I come to thank him so much. And may I never, ever lack the opportunity to share that with somebody else. This is my prayer today. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
In Jerusalem, there's a brook and a valley. It's called the Kidron Valley. Kidron, I think, is the way it's pronounced correctly. And at times of sacrifice, that brook and that valley would run red with blood from the sacrifice. Through the course of the Old Testament times, there was many, many, many sacrifices offered. We read in Hebrews, or was read to you from Hebrews, that the blood of goats and heifers, the sprinkling of ashes, all those things did not appease God. They were only a symbol of what would come one day. I want to remind us all that we have not a once upon a time salvation. We have a once and for all salvation. He shed his blood one time. So today I'm not taking his blood, I'm looking at a symbol of his blood. I'm saying I have trusted his blood. It has cleansed me, it has made me whole. I never have to have it applied to my life again, because it's a once and for all salvation. I've trusted what Jesus has done for me through the shedding of his blood, because without his shedding of his blood, there could be no remission of sin. So he took the cup, and just in the same way it tells us, and in the same manner, and after supper, saying, "This is my cup." Remembrance of me. Would you stand with me? I'd like to ask you today, have you really trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, we've had this visual evidence of trust, and maybe today you couldn't participate in the service today because you're not really sure where you stand with God. Well, I want you to know today that you can have the full assurance of God through the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit that heaven can be your home. Nothing can take away what God can do for you if you're willing to let Him. Today we have this visual evidence of trust. But trust is an internal matter. It has to take place in your heart. I participated in this today because I did something a while back. I love the song that we sang this morning, "We Will Remember." Dwayne, when you did your part there, "The day that I was saved." Do you remember the day that you were saved? If there's not a moment that you can trace back to and say, "I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I know that He did." I want you to know in a few moments we're going to be having an invitation. And we're inviting you personally to have that relationship with God today through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to be singing, "Just As I Am." And that's the way God takes us, just as we are. And then He makes us a new creation. It's something that transpires from the inside out, not the outside in. That's the way God saves. From the inside out, not from the outside in. So don't worry about cleaning up what you've got already. It still will be just as filthy and just as dirty as you started. You may look a little better, you may feel a little bit better about yourself, but the transaction needs to take place in your heart. So let me ask you to do this. We're going to have a word of prayer here in just a moment. We're going to start an invitation. If you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, then you come forward. See one of these people up here. We'll have some other counselors in place, some other ladies as well that will be up here. Grab one of them and say, "I want to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I want to trust Him today. I want to trust God more in 2012. Would you pray with me? Father, again, we thank You, we praise You for Your word. It's not only able to make us wise in this salvation, but it is also a light, a path that will light our path. It can make us wise in the salvation, but it is a way that we can be guided through this life. And Lord, I pray that the challenge today that has been brought through Your word and through the visual things that we've done today through the celebration of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago will bring people that are Christians closer to You, and those that are not in Your kingdom, that they'll make that choice today to be a part of the kingdom. And Father, we'll give You the thanks and we'll give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone looking up. In a few moments, we're going to be having a baptism. That's a symbol as well of what Jesus has done in a young man's life as well by the name of Carson. He's going to be getting baptized, not to make him a Christian, but because he is a Christian. If you've not trusted Jesus today, Dwayne's going to start singing here. When I finish up this last little thought, you come forward. Take someone by the hand. If you're by yourself this morning or you're someone standing with you, you know that they're a Christian, say, "Hey, I need to come forward today." And you come forward as we sing. Please come.